Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, hey there, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Happy Memorial Day. We want to honor those veterans who have gone before us, who gave their lives in saving our lives and saving our country. And we want to let their families know that we appreciate the legacy that they've left behind. And, you know, want to do that. We keep that in mind, even though it's a long weekend, I guess, supposedly for some of us that are back fully in the workforce. And we want you all also to be safe while maybe you're trying to grill. It's a little bit rainy today here, but, you know, like I was teasing my husband, I know he's just going to, like, as he throw out on his grill, run back in, watch TV, go and check the grill, go back out, you know, and get it when it's done. You know, so, and you know, you can do that kind of here in Florida in between raindrops. There's not any mass storm right now, thank God. So, anyway, we want to welcome you, and we're going to talk about another thing that's being noted today. We're going to talk about in the next half hour. It's National Missing Children Day. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But first, we're going to talk to a friend. It's been kind of missing herself in action from our show, Kathy Booker. Good morning, Kathy. How are you? Oh, wow, wow. Ooh, do we not have Kathy? I'm going to check on Kathy in a minute. But anyway.
Hello.
Oh, there you are. Oh, goodness, I'm just running my mouth and ended up bumping the mute button. Hey, I'm just a jabbering. Oh, how are you? Welcome back, Kathy Booker.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's so wonderful to hear your voice and to know that just as going through my day, I think about the fact that you're going on like a trooper, and it's good to hear that you're still on top of everything. That's wonderful.
I'm working on it. It's a little unsettling, but we're managing. We're managing, you know, and are blessed. We have not gotten the virus. I would say knock on wood, but I'm in the car, so You know, so how are you doing? We've missed you, really.
Yeah, I am doing actually wonderful. I have a new job, and it's very, very time-consuming to get everything done that needs to be done on a daily basis. But it's gone extremely well. I appreciate this particular assignment.
So, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, well, two things, and we'll cover, you know, as much as we can in this half hour, dealing with the, I guess you could say, new normal, and we're still not certain what that is,
right.
This transitioning phase in the era of COVID-19, the coronavirus. But before we get to that, I want to talk about dealing with the memories. It is Memorial Day. We have troops that have served us and have gone on, and we want to pay our respects. How you know, we're already stressed. So and then this comes along. How do we, I guess, find joy in the memories of a loved one?
Joy that we have is that that person does not have to deal with whatever issues that they were having at that time. And if you're talking about a soldier doing their job, that's what they wanted to do. They, if you ever speak to a person who's very passionate about freedom and protecting this country and going to be a part of the military, you find that same thing is that that's what they always wanted to do and that no one ever had to talk them into it. It's like a rite of passage or a passion that's in them that was there from birth. And it's wonderful when you remember those things, how passionate that person was to doing the job that they knew that they had to do. It, talking about your brother's keeper, it's just, to me, it's just a wonderful thing to remember. It would bring joy to you to know that that person had purpose, and that purpose was to do what they did, and they did it well. Own self-absorption about, if they just, you know, if it hadn't happened, but all of us have an assignment. And that was that person's assignment. And so it's just a wonderful time to stop and say, I knew when they made that decision. I knew when they decided to do the things that they knew. And they were very committed. And I think that that is wonderful. Because I'm coming from a military family myself with, you know, five generations, looking over pictures and looking at the pride that you can see in those faces of the men's faces that in my family and the women's faces that went, that you could tell that being in the military and putting that uniform on was, so I would think that this is a time to reflect on the greatness of our freedom, our ability to be resilient at a time, even now, that seems to be so difficult. But what about the people who, I often think about the ship that was out at sea, and they quoted that it was 600 people on that ship that had been diagnosed, or the many military bases that had to kind of, you know, go into isolation. But if something came up, they would have responded just like our doctors and nurses have had to respond, our police officers. And I think that that is, you know, how can you be upset or not happy or not feel joy that in spite of everything that we got going on in this world with now a pandemic, that we can be rest assured that our safety, our freedom is not being compromised now because the people who are, who decided on their own, because, you know, we have a volunteer military, it's not a draft anymore, that everybody that's in there now go because they want to. And I think that that's just, for me, I would point out how great it is that the people that are assigned to do what they do, do it best and don't even think about one point in time about a pandemic. They still are mission ready, and whatever comes up, they still will respond. And it makes me feel proud that we have such protection country, wherein some countries, they may not have that same protection.
All right. It's interesting to me how we have people that, I guess, kind of serving double duty in a sense and they're like, they were ready. The doctors and nurses and the medical people that serve in the military as well, they kind of were, this was kind of almost second nature to them and to be in the trenches of something that, so devastating. But the thing is, too, unlike maybe being, I could be wrong, but being on a side of a battlefield maybe, or, at a side of a military hospital, just with regular stuff, they're also having to deal with the fact that I can get sick, too. There's a disease involved. They're pretty much a captive audience.
Exactly. If we think about the other pandemics that we have had, had these same people that have gone out and did, like you said, double duty.
And I've heard people talk about, I was there with Ebola and I was with other ones, and how different this is, and so many unknowns and so many things that are trying to curtail this in a quick manner. I do want to talk a little bit about there's having to do a lot of thinking on your feet type of work right now, just getting to the coronavirus. There's a lot of having to, we don't have, some people would say X amount of years, or don't really want X amount of years to try to discover a vaccine or a cure or whatever. We need to do this quickly because of the numbers of people that have, we have so many more numbers of people on our planet, period. Number two, we just have so many more people that have contracted the disease and then dying from the disease and still not really, knowing. And unfortunately, Kathy, and I want to talk about this, we seem to have a very impatient society right now. And I think there's some mix-ups in terms of values or there's, dilemma in terms of values, in terms of, saving lives and saving the economy. That seems to get pitted against each other a lot.
Yeah. I think the fact that we feel like we have to have a solution for everything that comes about, and we already know with the flu, period, or any disease that we have, period, there's going to be a period of uncertainty. And we already know since it's a virus, it mutates, it changes. And so there will never be a cure for this particular type of ailment because it mutates. And there's not enough what if that we can put in a scenario box to come up with a so-called vaccine that will be able to overcome this type of thing. I think part of it is that we try to be too smart for our own good, and that maybe some of the old remedies or just letting our bodies do what it does best. Like you said, we want everything to be quick. So if we take a pill and we feel better in a couple of days, then that's the cure. And regrettably, I think sometimes we have to really allow the created body that we were given work some of these germs out of our bodies and you know, goes back to heaven, the healthy weight, healthy diet, exercise, without running to the doctor every time, you know, we have a cough or a sniffle. And it seems to me we've, you know, backed ourselves against the wall now. Now it's like, for me, it's like, okay, what are we going to do now? Because nobody can tell you anything other than the fact that we need to stay away from each other and we need to have the same hygiene that we needed to have all along.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting. It is a new normal for us to be much more conscious of how we go about doing things. And it is unfortunate that we're balancing it, the public health all over the world, for the fact that the economy is not working the way that we felt that it needs to work.
Kathy, I want to talk about you. One of the things you just said about the hygiene that we've been doing. The thing about it is, for some of us, the hygiene that we were doing wasn't working all that well. I remember when this first happened, I heard some guy in another aisle, in the soap aisle, and I had just gone through the soap aisle and noticed, like, the bar soap was gone and everything. And I was in the next aisle, and I heard this guy was like, you know, what? The soap is gone? Like, are people just learning how to wash themselves? And he used more colorful language. But I do see maybe getting back to basics type of moves going on here with some of this in terms of the washing of the hands. And then for me, it's not as that as much as the growing of food now, because they're talking about not just meat shortages, but they're talking about other types of food shortages. And, you know, I started a garden with a couple of pallets, and I actually got my husband to get me a third pallet because I'm thinking about expanding it because, you know, I mean, if that's going to be the case, I need to learn how to supplement what's out there. And it's probably going to be cheaper anyway.
Exactly.
So, I mean, why, you know, this mindset in terms of, oh, my goodness, I wanted to talk to you about that mindset of about running out and having to get toilet paper. I mean, things have just kind of turned. I mean, even for me, it's not the toilet paper so much, but it's more of the, I guess you could say, the comfort stuff and maybe some of the stuff I really I'm kind of doing this mixed thing. I'm trying to eat healthier. And in the meantime, I just stocked up on some sodas that I know I probably shouldn't be having. But, you know, there's a part of me that wants that Coke and pizza, you know, and to just chill. So how do we balance, I guess, what we know we should be doing with those things that, I guess, make us feel good?
Right. It's about commitment to your quality of life and what that looks like for you. And we have, you know, if you think about since the 50s or before, and I would take it after the Great Depression, there were certain things that people did do to make sure that they didn't have to be inconvenienced with the type of things that they enjoyed having. So some people did plan and then did do some things so that would not reoccur. But as we moved on into the 50s and the 60s, there was a great change. If you think about when technology changed, how we went from these remote phones to pagers to cell phones and the different grades of cell phones that we have up to now, things have changed really quickly. And as a result of it changing really quickly, we at this point believe that we should snap our fingers and it should happen. or the fact that we know that maybe pizza every once in a while is okay, but if we have it more than every once in a while, like once a week, then we know that's attributing to possibly a higher caloric count, as well as how really good is that particular pleasure. Wouldn't a nice 5-course meal be better? Sure it would. Would it be as pleasurable? Maybe not. So it's about us committing to a way of life now. Will the pandemic force us to be different in those kind of habits? It'll be interesting.
Yeah. Okay, another thing, because I got to catch up on so much stuff with you, but another thing is, okay, I don't like the term social distancing. I heard one person say it really should be physical distancing. But it's the whole social distancing thing and trying to keep, I guess, educated, informed, entertained has presented a new dilemma where we had worked so or complained so about screen time and all this other stuff,
right,
which we thought was a curse, has now become a blessing.
Guys,
can you talk a little bit about balancing that? And is there a better term other than social distancing? I personally don't like it.
Well, look at it, how our lives have changed just with, if we look at about how social we are now.
Mm-hmm.
We already were being distant from one another because it's easier for me to text explicatives and say things that maybe would be unkind in a text message. And if that's not social distancing, I don't know what is. And now that it becomes a physical awareness that we have to have, now, I don't know, I've had some concerns about crowds and how crowds act in a certain situation. Look at the race that we had, and, you know, they set that bomb off for the Boston Marathon. So I think it was coming about that because we now have a illness that would promote that even more. It's interesting how we now are reacting to that. Or some of us, you know, just for the incident that happened over the weekend, you know, people still want to be social in spite of what may not happen. Social distancing, to me, you know, it's like if a person has a cold, we didn't distance ourselves, and it's like, I don't want that person's cold. So I think there's not a better term for it other than the fact that we have to recognize or be more aware that if I'm not feeling well, that I don't need to carry my sickness out in public anyway. I don't know why this particular pandemic, you know, makes any difference other than the fact that we have technology and we can talk about it not just in our neighborhood, but now we can talk about it all over the world. And the hysteria that has occurred, or the fact that nobody in the whole world was ever prepared.
Kathy, you're talking about, you know, this is different. I mean, this is different because, for example, someone has a cold, you know, there's a cough, the sneezing, the wheezing, the runny nose, is all. There are detectable signs where with you, it's a good number of days possibly before you know whether or not you have it sometimes, or even if someone else, you can be walking by someone else that has it and they laugh or whatever, and you end up just by virtue of that.
I think that has always been happening. Have you just caught a cold and didn't understand how come you had the cold?
I guess. I mean, I can usually
you never think about it.
Because getting run down or changing of diet or whatever. I guess I try to pay a little bit more attention. But yeah, you're right. There are a lot of cases where, you know, especially I don't have kids, so I'm not around kids. I know kids can get it and end up getting sick, you know. So I don't have that excuse. So yeah, I guess you're right.
Or I mean, just in a restaurant, you know, going to the bathroom and touching the doors or touching the handles where somebody else washed their hands. Germs have always been with us. It's just that the one that we can advertise this one now to say, because look at the technology. They can actually look and see where the germ is. We didn't always have that technology. So I think because we're more informed about the possibility of germs and what they can do to you, it makes it mysterious with this one because we never, ever accepted the fact that no matter where I go, germs are with me wherever I go. And today I may not be susceptible, but tomorrow I may be susceptible. So for me, it's always been like the circulation in airplanes has always been interesting to me. Back before it stopped people from smoking cigarettes on the plane, I used to wonder, how is it that y'all can have, if you don't, the air quality as well as you're talking about a place where you don't know how flammable things are around you, and we're smoking cigarettes on the plane? Come on now. We've always had the threat of danger of things happening. I think it's more because of the media and the way we use our media that it has impacted us to the level to make us more aware of. I'm standing next to Gretchen, and she may have a strep throat. And if I drink after her, it's most likely I'm going to get strep throat. But I don't know she has strep throat, and she doesn't know she has strep throat until she gets sick. You know, and then a few days later, I get sick. it boggles my mind. And the other part about it, I could be honest with you, that the will of God has been pushed and pushed and pushed by us so much. To me, this is just the beginning of the return of Christ, and this is just a small example of what we're going to have to do to go through to get truly believe God is God and His will is His will. And instead of going to the beach to be pleasurable, why not go to the beach and have a world prayer, you know, that we hold together? So, you know, God forgive us for our foolishness. And so that's, for me, you know, reading Revelations and reading the coming, everybody thinks it's going to be this big bang that happens all of a sudden. I'm going, we don't know if this is the beginning, we don't know if it's the middle, and we don't know how close we are to the end. But to me, it bears notice spiritually for us to know it's time to this human stuff that we got going on, if this is the way that he has to allow us to, because I don't imagine how it could have been in Egypt and how far that particular pandemic reached across, you know, it was more than just Egypt at that time. You know, but because we didn't have the type of technology we have now. It's more readily for us to hear it, recognize it. The news every day has talked about it. Mm-hmm. It's like year. If you remember, they talked about the hurricane. It's coming.
Yeah.
It's almost here.
Yeah. Speaking of which, that's happening. The season is next week. Cassie, thank you so much. God bless you. It is a joy to have you back on the show.
Yes.
Really appreciate it.
Wonderful to hear your voice. And I'm glad that in spite of this virus that, you know, no one in your family, I'm hoping, has contracted it, and that God's love and comfort and healing will be not, you know, be with them and all of your listeners. Let us just
definitely
continue to have faith in God. Thank you for allowing me this opportunity again.
Oh, always welcome, Cassie. Thank you so much.
Yes,
and we got to take a break, and then when we come back, like I mentioned before, this is also National Missing Children's Day. We're going to talk with someone from the Black and Missing Foundation when we come back. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garris. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arklatex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Chill out jazz. Are you chilling?
Good afternoon, and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today, and thanks again to Kathy Booker for joining us again. It's been a while, so we're glad to have her back. Happy Memorial Day, but also this is a time to remember our missing children. It is National Missing Children's Day, Awareness Day, but also we want to highlight the Black missing, not only children, just missing persons that don't really get a lot of the attention sometimes that they should. And so we have with us Natalie Wilson, who is the co-founder of the Black and Missing Foundation Incorporated. Natalie, hi, how are you?
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for taking the time, especially I know this is a time you might be doing something else, you know, grilling or you know, visiting Grayside or whatever, but this is an important topic that we have to address. So talk about what was your, impetus in terms of getting this founded and, you know, how long you've been in existence and what your foundation does.
Sure. So actually yesterday, May 24th, we celebrated our 12th year anniversary. But the Black Missing Foundation is a nonprofit organization, and it brings awareness to missing people of color. Not only do we bring awareness to our missing, but we help search for them and educate our community about personal safety. And the organization began because there was a young lady by the name of Tamika Houston who was missing from my sister-in-law's hometown of Spartanburg, South Carolina. And we read how her family, her aunt, who is in media, really struggled to get any type of media coverage at all. So we decided to do some research, and at the time when we did our research, 30% of all persons missing were of color, and they were mostly men. However, to date, that number has now increased to 40%. So my sister-in-law and I said, you know, why not us? Why do we wait, or should we wait for someone else to help us find us? And we just put our professions together where I'm in media relations, she's in law enforcement, and those are the two critical professions needed to help us find our missing. So that's how the organization began.
So in the case of Tamika, like, because I'm not, to be honest, I'm not familiar with the case, what was the result of your efforts with that?
Well, as a result of that, I mean, we brought awareness to her disappearance. And thankfully, her boyfriend came forward and he told what happened. Sadly, she was murdered by her boyfriend. But there are so many Tamikas. And what really struck us is that when Tamika went missing, about a year later, Natalie Holloway went missing. And just saying her name alone, everyone knows who she is.
Right.
And Tamika was a very bright and beautiful young lady. So we were really, you know, disturbed that Natalie Holloway dominated the news. As a matter of fact, she still continues to dominate the news. And
yeah,
our missing don't receive the news coverage like other individuals do. And we're not trying to dishonor anyone. We're just trying to even the playing field so that all missing persons receive the coverage that they need or assistance from law enforcement to be found. Because these are our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, our children that are disappearing, and it's so important that we shed a light on these missing individuals.
So now, because I know that's the case with a lot of our men as well as women. We want to talk about this. It's not about children. These are men and women. There was a case not too long ago, and the reason I found out about it because one of my gym members was a friend of a guy that was from Ohio that was relocating to Georgia, and he ended up missing, and about a week later, he was dead, and there's still kind of some, I guess, different stories in terms of how that ended up happening. But the thing about it is, like, no, you didn't hear anything about it from hardly anyone. It wasn't really, and it doesn't seem that our, you know, African-American brothers and sisters get into the news until you start pushing it in social media. I think social media, in a way, has been a godsend for that, because a lot of times it does not go into media until it's been out on social media for a while, it seems to me.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, we can't wait for the normal news cycle. We can't wait for 5 or 6 o'clock or the 11 o'clock news. We have to utilize social media to get this information out instantaneously because as time goes on, we're losing vital clues. So we also use, you know, social media for good. But predators are using social media to lure our kids into sex trafficking. Even with the shutdown and with the pandemic, we're seeing our kids continue to go missing. And we're noticing that some of them are meeting or talking to someone online because that's how we're communicating now virtually. And these predators know that. They're grooming the kids, making them feel comfortable. And they're leaving the home and going to meet this person. And, you know, God forbid things are happening. So we have, as parents, we have to know what our kids are doing online, who they're talking to, you know, who are they in conversation with online.
So do people reach out to your foundation or do you reach out to people when you hear of cases? How does that work?
So It's twofold. So we receive cases from family members, from law enforcement, from the media, from our social media family. So we receive cases from a number of people. And we also reach out if we hear about a case and we have the contact information for the family, we will definitely reach out to provide assistance. And our organization, this is free service. So we're not charging anything. If someone has a missing loved one and they need help, we know that oftentimes people don't know what to do or where to turn. That's why we're here, to help. And we also ask our community. We know that there's this no snitching in our community, but it takes all of us to help us find us. So if someone has information about a missing person, we ask them to go to our website, BAMFI.org, and submit a tip anonymously.
So how have the results
been since you all have gotten involved? I think you said 2012. How many cases have you all been, I guess, involved in, and what can you tell me about any of the outcomes?
Sure. So we have been in existence for 12 years, since May of 2008 is when we started, and we have assisted in finding or bringing closure to over 300 cases. But we have thousands of cases in our database. Each year, there are over 240,000 persons of color reported missing every year. So since our existence, that's about 2-point-something million people reported missing. And we know that there are so many more who aren't reported, so we believe the numbers are higher. But again, you know, it's not just our responsibility to help bring awareness to our missing. It's our community, it's law enforcement, it's the media. We all have a part to play or a role to play in helping us find us. And one of the cases I would ask your listeners, if they can go to our website and see Sophie Reeder. She has been missing since May 20 of 2017. She was 15 years old at the time, and her parents believe that she's a victim of sex trafficking. She met someone online, left her home to meet them, and she hasn't been seen in 3 years.
Do you use any we were talking a little bit about technology. Do you use any of the technology such as the advanced aging type of technology?
We do not, but we have a partnership with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. So we do work with them, and they do assist with that. But we, as an organization, we're a small organization, and we're growing. And like this weekend for our anniversary, we had a fundraiser, and it's to raise money for, you know, studies and grants and, you know, to help these families and for age progression support.
Okay. And so you accept volunteers and donations. What do you ask of your volunteers, basically?
Well, we ask our volunteers, one, to, because we need them to be our eyes and ears. When we share profile on our social media platform, we ask them to share it within their network because we believe that someone knows something. Or we may be hosting an event and need our volunteers to assist with that. There may be someone missing from a particular area, and we need boots on the ground where we need people to help us go out and search for these missing individuals. And, of course, we need financial support. So, again, this weekend, it's our 12th-year anniversary. We're asking our supporters to donate $12 to go towards the organization. My sister-in-law and I, we do not take a salary from this organization because we have jobs. We have full-time jobs. So every penny that's given to the organization goes back to the family. You'll be surprised how many individuals who are missing are found deceased. Well, we help families with burial assistance. We also help families. It's very expensive also to print flyers, and we will create them and we'll print them for them and, you know, provide it so they can distribute it in the community. So we provide a whole host of support to our community and the families that are looking for closures and looking for answers as to what happened to their missing loved one.
Are you finding that, what are you finding in terms of, is there an average, I guess, age range? Are they more male versus female versus male? Or what have you seen?
Well, 40% of all persons missing are of color. And what we're finding is that male and female, it's kind of running neck and neck as far as percentage-wise. But people go missing for a number of reasons. People go missing because of mental health issues. And that's a topic that we need to start discussing in our community and stop letting it be a taboo discussion.
Right.
Sex trafficking is an issue that we need to talk about because people think that it's happening abroad. Well, guess what? Sex trafficking is happening in our communities, in our backyard. It doesn't matter how affluent it is or how poor it is, it's happening in our backyard. You know, people are, we're seeing that our seniors are walking away from their homes because they have Alzheimer's or dementia, so they're being reported missing. We notice that individuals that are victims of domestic violence are disappearing because of that issue. So there's a whole gamut of reasons as to why people are reported missing.
So how can we help? What can we do to help you all in your efforts?
Well, one, if individuals, again, can go to our social media page, please follow us, see who's missing from your community so you can definitely share those profiles because these are lives worth finding and saving. And also we ask that you contribute financially to the organization. We are having a fundraiser. It's ending, I think, the end of this week. And if they can just contribute $12, it goes a long way to help these families. So if you go to BAMFI.org, you'll see, you know, how you can get involved with the organization.
Okay. Ms. Wilson, Natalie Wilson with the Black and Missing Foundation, thank you so much for taking the time out today. Really appreciate it because we really need to do a little bit more in terms of heightening the awareness of our Black and Missing people so that they get the proper attention. And hopefully with more attention, we can get better results, you know, other than that, you know, person's been dead for a while or whatever, you know, that helps to bring closure too. But we also want to have some more positive results as well. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. And you know what? We applaud our community because they're definitely behind us. Do I have time to tell a quick story?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. So I don't know if you remember in 2017, in the height of this, we call it a pandemic in D.C., where a number of young girls were reported missing. Well, there was a young lady, 16 years old. She met someone online, and her parents did everything right. They took her phone away from her, but she went to school, used her friend's phone, and got on TikTok or one of these online apps. And she met someone, gave him her school address. The guy came and picked her up from school. Well, guess what happened? He was a predator. He was a pimp. He brought her to D.C., and she was sex trafficked. He put her in an Uber and was sending her to another location. Well, there was an Uber driver who thought something was off, and then he saw her on our social media platform, contacted us. We contacted the FBI, and she was able to be rescued. But that's only because of the vigilant Uber driver. And, you know, her family is really still struggling because the person that left isn't the person that came back. And this young lady has been traumatized and has tried to commit suicide a number of times. So we have to be vigilant and talk to our kids as to what's going on. But as I said, her parents didn't give her a phone. She went to school and used a friend's phone, and she thought that she was talking to someone her age. Well, it was a predator. He was a pimp. And sadly, she said that when the FBI rescued her, there were other girls that were there, but they weren't able to rescue them.
Wow. Well, thank you for that, because we do need to hear it so that we know what, you know, what our people are dealing with out there. And yeah, we look at sex trafficking in movies and stuff like that and don't realize a lot of this stuff is happening up under our noses. So we need to hear those stories to realize what's happening. And thank you for sharing that. Really appreciate that too. So Ms. Wilson, thank you for so much for your time.
Thank you, and you have a great day.
Have a blessed day. Thank you. And thank you all for joining us. Thanks. Bye-bye. We're going to cut out early so you can continue with your Memorial Day celebrations and plans. This has been G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks for joining us. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care. ¶¶
The highest praise. Come on, come on. Give up the highest praise.